November 16th, 2005, item number 104. Today's guest is Melinda from the My Maryland Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. At any point during today's show, you have some feedback or comments you'd like to leave us, please call 206-666-4357 or send an email to podcast411@gmail.com. Thanks. Before we get into the interview with Melinda, a couple quick news and notes. First, I'm back from the expo. I had a blast. I'd like to thank everyone I met at the expo for being so cordial, so nice, and it was just an incredible experience. I'm not going to go through a list of names who I met because I went and checked my list. 48 people that I've interviewed to date I met at the show. On top of that, I met many times that number of future guests. So I have a ton of cards. Many different future guests will be coming up. On our next show, for example, is Steve from the SG show. And he was at the show and it was great to meet Steve. You're really going to enjoy that interview. That's going to be this Saturday. One person I'd like to thank is Steve Freiss, who is with Wired, and he put up the article about podcasting right before the expo, and he quoted me as saying that this expo was going to be the Woodstock of podcasting, and that phrase got repeated many, many, many times in many of the keynotes and presentations. So thank you, Steve, for putting that up. And Steve has a podcast, by the way, and Steve's podcast, formerly known as Vegas S&M, now known as The Strip, which you can find at stevefreiss.com. I'm excited to check out this week's show for Steve because his guest is Joe Hachem, who is the 2005 World Series of Poker champ. So anybody who's watching ESPN Tuesday night, you got to see Joe win. And now you can hear him on Steve's show this week. So go over and check that out. I had mentioned in the past that I was going to switch over to a format right now of two shows a week, Wednesdays and Saturdays, going forward. Every now and then I'm going to try to slip in a Monday show, but for the most part, it's going to be down to two shows a week until the end of March. Now, you're probably asking, why till the end of March? Well, myself and Murr over at Geek Foo Action Grip have gotten a contract from Q Publishing to produce a book called The Tricks of the Podcast Masters, and we are in the midst of writing that. Matter of fact, we have five chapters due on the 28th. Stress. So I would like to just thank all the past guests that have come on to help contribute to that and future guests. But more importantly, I'd like to get your feedback. So if anybody out there has any tricks or tips or anything else that they think would be worthy of being included in the book, please send them to me at rob@podcast411. And in the title, just write book tips. That's it. So Rob at Podcast 411, title Book Tips, and let me know, and we'll get you in the book. We really want to make this a community book, and this book is more along the lines of The Art of Podcasting, where we're concentrating more on the content of it and not as much on connecting a mixer to a compressor and preamps and things to that nature. This is more, again, on the art of podcasting. How we were able to get this right now, there's a book out called The Absolute Beginner's Guide of Podcasting, and that is from Q Publishing, and I wrote the foreword to that. So if you're looking for a book about podcasting from the beginner's point of view, The Absolute Beginner's Guide is a very good one. Additionally, at the show, I met Evo, and I've had Evo on before, and we had T. Morris on before, and Evo and T teamed up to write the Podcasting for Dummies book, and Evo and T had some very kind words for me in that book. So there's another great book for you. We'll have the links in the show notes for both books at podcast411.com. Well, that's enough of news and notes. We're going to go ahead now and get into the interview with Melinda from the My Maryland Podcast. Here we go. Melinda, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And typical first question, and that is, what was your first computer?
My first computer was an HP. I'm rather new to the whole computer thing. I guess I've had it about 5 years ago.
Well, then I won't be talking to you about transferring programs via tape to your computer.
No.
We won't be talking about Castle Wolfenstein or anything like that today.
No, it's so funny. I listen to so many podcasts, and sometimes the technical stuff is just right over my head.
What's beautiful about podcasting, there is mediums for everybody. And how long have I been trying to get you on this show now?
I guess it was around June, I think, when we first talked about it.
And you snubbed me. Well, not snubbed me. You just said you were a little afraid to come on.
And I wasn't using Skype. I just hadn't gotten around to that. So.
And the reason why I wanted to bring you on was because I felt you had such a unique show and unique format. And your show is the My Maryland podcast, which is...
That's right.
And you want to explain a little bit about your podcast?
Sure. Basically, I've been a Marilyn Monroe fan for over 15 years, and the show is basically kind of about my collection and about my take on Marilyn. So that's why I kind of called it My Marilyn.
And why I thought that was so unique, I thought that was such a great use of podcasting, that you could get this specialized niche where you went after, like, Marilyn Monroe. And then you played recently a clip of me talking about your podcast with Shelley, and Shelley does the Tracy and Hepburn podcast. And see, that was why I wanted you on the show, so you could help inspire more people.
I thought that was great. That made me feel really great that would actually inspire people to do podcasts. It's wonderful.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that there'll be a James Dean podcast someday, and maybe even an Ed Wood podcast.
You never know. A dream would be like a directory that's nothing but old Hollywood-themed podcasts. That would be a great thing for the internet.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
The first one I listened to was actually The Daily Source Code.
I don't know why I asked that question anymore. It's like 70-something percent of people, it's Daily Source Code.
Really? Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that was the first one, and that was kind of what inspired me to do my podcast. I thought, wow, let me come up with something to do, and that's why I did it.
Now, are you listening to many podcasts today?
I do. I don't have as much time as I used to a few months ago, but I do listen to a few. The ones that I never miss an episode are basically still The Daily Source Code, I'm sorry to say. I really enjoy Top of the Pods. I was a big Earthcore fan, so now I'm listening to the Ancestor podcast.
Okay, now let's get back to your podcast. What exactly are some of the things that people can hear? I know I've listened, and you've played interviews with her first husband. Not that you did the interview, but some previous interviews that were done of her first husband and other people that have known her. What are some of the other things people can hear when they tune in?
Well, I like to play some of her music, actual songs that she's singing. And more recently, I've come across a lot of music that was inspired by her. Bands that, you know, have made a song called Marilyn Monroe and things like that. And there's some really great music out there that I've never heard before. So I try to play those because I don't think very many people would have heard them.
Roughly, how many songs do you think there are that were inspired or Marilyn inspired, you know, the Candle in the Wind type songs?
Well, at this point, I've come across about 20 of them. Like, they're all pretty recent as well, except for Candle in the Wind, of course. But some of the more recent bands, it's really amazing to me. And I've emailed them all and asked for their permission to play the songs. And they think, you know, it's just great that somebody's actually interested in their songs. So, yeah.
One of the comments you made, and I can't believe you did this, which shows how big a geek when it comes to Marilyn Monroe you are. So you're geek with a double M. is you calculated all the minutes of her screen time for all her movies?
You heard that, did
yes.
you?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I thought it was a great thing. Well, I have a website that I've been running for about 5 years. It's called Marilyn in the Camera, and it's at marilynmonroe.ca. And so for that website, I had a section on her films, and I reviewed all of the films, and I thought, you know, what can I do that is unique? I really strive to be unique compared to, because there's a lot of Marilyn Monroe websites out there.
You think?
I thought, what can
really?
I do? There really is.
But there's only one Marilyn Monroe podcast. So
that's right. That's the important thing. So I did actually time how many minutes she actually appears on the screen.
I thought that was great that you did that, because then it tells people, okay, you know, if...
I've had a lot of response to that. People, you know, appreciated it, and they don't waste their money on a movie that she's only on the screen for like 50 seconds.
Look, there she is, right behind the bus.
Gotta look quick.
Yeah. What got you into Marilyn Monroe? I've got to ask that. When did you start collecting Marilyn Monroe items?
Well, actually, it kind of came about because I was a big Madonna fan, and the Material Girl video had just come out, so it was probably mid-80s. She kind of dresses up as Marilyn Monroe in that video, and there was a show on the news, and they were discussing the comparison, and I thought, who is this? I'd never heard of this Marilyn Monroe before, and I picked up a book from the library, read that, and I was just hooked, and immediately just started collecting absolutely everything.
Now, you had a guy on your show who was interviewed. The guy was Martin Moran from the UK.
Yeah.
In your ID3 tags, you actually had the clip art picture of his tattoo on his back.
Yes.
So who has more Marilyn Monroe items, you or this guy?
I would say I do.
Oh, my God. Because he was sitting there going, well, am I a fan or am I obsessive? Well, I'm somewhere in between. I'm like, no, you are far beyond obsessive.
No, you know what? Actually, when I think about it, because I've seen pictures of his house, so I can say that he probably does have more physical items than I do. Mm-hmm. And the mannequin was a little over the top for me. But.
Well, that's not over the top, scary.
I'm not that bad. I do have a Marilyn Monroe tattoo, but I'm not all over my back. But
okay. Are you going to share where your tattoo is?
Oh, it's just on my ankle.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the very first Marilyn Monroe item that you collected?
You know what? I think it was a collector plate, and that was the very first thing that I bought. I was about 16, and my mother was like, what the hell are you spending your money on a plate for? Yeah, it's weird.
What is your favorite collectible item? If the house is burning and there's only one item you can pull out, what's the item you pull out?
It would have to be my signed check.
Okay, that you mentioned that one.
Yeah. That would be number one. And the number two, I just got, I love eBay. Like, oh my God, it's like Christmas. You come home and you get to unwrap stuff. It's wonderful. And I just got her original nude calendar from 1952.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm pretty impressed with that. I would grab that in a burning building for sure.
Is it in good shape?
It's in pretty good shape for how old it is. I'm quite pleased with the quality of it. It looks pretty good. And it's huge. It's just, I love it. It's beautiful.
I take it you have the Playboy issue.
You know what? That is the holy grail of things that I don't have.
Oh, you don't? Wow.
I don't have the Playboy.
I guess it's pretty rare.
It is, and it's pretty pricey. So it's been one of those things that, you know, I always have it on my list, and I just haven't gotten around to.
Yeah, because you're not just fighting with Marilyn Monroe collectors. You're fighting.
No, that's
Playboy
the worst of it.
Right,
yeah.
You're fighting because it's issue one of Playboy.
Yeah, for sure. And living in Canada, you know, all that stuff is all in the States, and just the exchange rate and the customs. It's just
Someone has the first issue of Playboy with Marilyn Monroe in it, and they want to donate it to you, I'm sure you'd take it, right?
Oh, for sure. And they could be a permanent sponsor. I would mention them on my show every day.
Yeah, so don't pass away and let your relatives sell it in the garage sale. Give it to someone who would keep it.
Give it to someone who would really appreciate it.
Coming up on your show, what do your listeners have to look forward to? What are some of the things you're planning for future shows?
You know what? I don't really plan my shows out. I literally sit down on the day that I'm going to do it, and I think for about 20 minutes and write down 5 things I want to talk about, and that's what we talk about that day. Usually it's emails. A lot lately it's been based on what listeners are writing in and asking me. So I really don't plan too far ahead.
Tell our listeners where to locate your podcast.
You can find my show at www.mymarilyn.ca.
Okay, so what does your significant other think of all of this collection and podcast and everything?
He's really not into it.
So he's not out going, hey, honey, I saw something on eBay you got to buy.
No. It's not a big surprise or what? Yeah, no, he's not really, not a big fan.
So you don't get the calls in the midday of work that there's something great that just went up on eBay?
I still do, but he doesn't get excited. I had him, he had to wake me up one night at 2 a.m. to go bid on something. And he wasn't too thrilled with that, but yeah.
What is the most memorable feedback you've received on your show?
I think really hearing Shelley's comment that she, you know, was inspired to do her podcast based on mine. I just think that's the biggest compliment that you can receive from somebody. And that was probably my favorite thing that I've heard.
Well, I am glad that you're getting PR out about your show now, because I think hopefully it'll inspire some others. I really would love to see a Humphrey Bogart podcast.
That would be awesome.
Cary Grant one would be a good one. My wife, she said, you have to ask her if she promotes her podcast in the gay community.
I just signed up for QPodder last week. I thought, why not? For goodness sake, the gay community has certainly embraced Marilyn Monroe, and I think that's wonderful.
Absolutely. One of the questions I've added now is, what are you doing outside of podcasting to promote your show? And I think your show would be a great show to go out to a lot of the gay forums and promote your show. There's obviously a lot of interest in the gay community about Marilyn Monroe. Always has been. You know, Elton John proved that a long time ago.
True enough. Yeah, that's a good idea. I haven't really pushed it too much, but that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, so you might get quite a few good guests out of that, too.
You never know.
People that have some good collections. You can start talking to some of your listeners that have collections about what their favorite collectibles are.
True enough. I hope to do that now that this is my first Skype call. So now that this is going all right, then I might attempt to get some interviews going in the future with some fans.
Let's talk about your recording. And you went through a little transition on the last couple shows, from good to bad to good. What are you using now, and will be using, hopefully, going forward, for your recording? And what was it that you used for that brief moment in time when it didn't sound very good?
Well, I'm doing my podcasting on the cheap, pretty much. And really, the software I'm using is the Audacity, and that I downloaded for free. So that's what I've been using to record with. And I had this old microphone that was left over from a webcam that was like 5 years old. So that's what I'd been using. And I thought, I need to get myself a new microphone. I'm sure it would improve the sound. So that's what I tried on my last show.
What type of microphone was it on the last one?
So, well, actually, it was just one of those, like, I know it's a cheap microphone, but it was one of those Griffin lapel mics, but
oh,
I bought the iMic, the Griffin iMic to go with it, like the USB, the interface thing that plugs into USB, and then you plug the mic into it.
Well, I mean, normally on your podcast,
and I thought that would improve it.
Yeah, you actually sounded pretty good, so I didn't have any problems with it on your,
so
other
I've
than
gone
your
back.
October, was it, fifth show?
Yeah, yeah.
But,
and it was overwhelming, the response, that it sucked. And I knew that, but I wanted to do a whole show just to, make sure it didn't sound good.
Well, I knew it was bad, but I just wanted everyone to know how bad it really was.
And you know what is the worst? That was probably my favorite show as far as content. I honestly want to re-record it and post it back up again because I really enjoyed all the content on that show, but I can't bring myself to listen to it because the quality is not very good.
We were talking about promoting outside the community, and one of the things that obviously you were doing to promote was you were asked by a television station in Canada to come on the show and talk about your podcast. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was really exciting. I was contacted by Star TV, which is an entertainment channel here in Canada. They contacted me actually to talk about my Marilyn Monroe collection. And during the interview, she asked me about my podcast because they thought that was just a really great thing. And my understanding is for sure that that will be part of the interview when it finally airs. It won't be till, I guess it's February, when it's going to be on TV. So that was really exciting.
Yes, that was why I gave you grief early on. You were afraid to come on my show, but you were willing to go on television. Fine. Is there anything that you're doing right now to try to help generate any revenue or make any money from your show?
I have a few like Amazon links type of things, but that's really not the purpose. So at this point, I'm not really trying to, get any revenue going. It's more a hobby.
Beyond the Amazon links, are there anything else that you're doing to generate revenue?
Yeah, I have some t-shirts actually in a Cafe Press online store with the My Marilyn logo.
One of my former guests was the artist for that.
Len.
And Nora from Jawbone.
Yeah. Did he not? Have you seen it? It's just the coolest character I've ever seen. And it's me. I love it.
Len is incredible with what he
does.
Yeah,
it's really great.
He's done some great caricatures. He did a great one for C.C. Chapman.
Aaron. Such talent. I so appreciate it. And it's just so exciting to think somebody has bought a t-shirt and a tote bag. Like, isn't that amazing? Somebody out there in Texas, I thank you, whoever you are.
How long does it take you to plan, think up, record, edit, post your show on a typical basis?
Good 4 hours, probably, because I don't really plan it out ahead of time. So I do play a lot of clips, like interview clips. So I actually pull all those out while I'm working on the podcast instead of doing it up ahead of time. So probably about 4 hours. I actually had somebody, like a listener to my show, who was a college teacher. And this person who had heard my podcast, he emailed me. He teaches a college course, and he was quizzing his students. He has about 40 students on if they knew what podcasting was. And only about 10 of them had even kind of heard of it. So he asked me if I would do a podcast, kind of explaining to them what podcasting is and just what hurdles, you find in podcasting. And I did it, and it was really kind of cool. They listened to a My Marilyn episode, and then he played them the little spiel for me about what podcasting is and what they need to do in order to make their own podcast. And that was really cool. I couldn't believe somebody would want me to do that.
Now how long was it, the total recording?
I just did a 10-minute little blurb about podcasting for them.
Well, Melinda, thank you so much for coming on the show, and it's been a pleasure, really good time talking with you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Melinda from the My Maryland podcast. Please check out her show at mymaryland.ca. I know you're going to enjoy the show. Thanks again, Melinda, for coming on. At the end of today's show, we're going to play a promo from A Guy, A Girl, and A Bottle. And then we have some real quick feedback from Robin and Suzanne, who I met at the expo. And then finally, you'll be able to find out the sex of my child. Today, me and the wife went and had the sonogram, so we now know what the child's sex is. So stick around at the end. You'll hear a part of a sound seeing tour and a couple of more comments from me. And I think that's going to go ahead and do it for us today. So this is your host, as always, Rob from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
He's a guy.
She's a girl.
And we've got a bottle.
A Guy, a Girl, and a Bottle is a weekly internet radio show for people interested in listening to an innovative wine podcast from a pair of novice wine reviewers.
Join us as we visit and review both the wineries and their wines in and around Silicon Valley.
You can find us in the podcast area of iTunes or on the web at www.gnnb.com.
I'm Suzanne.
And I'm Robin.
We are insightworks.com. That's insightworks.com.
And you are listening to Rob on Podcast 411.
Right there, okay. Leg there. It's like scrotum and penis right there.
Ah! Is he well, huh?
I can make him look bigger if you want me to.
I'm sure he would.
It's like scrotum and penis right there.
Well, folks, as you heard the doctor say, he could see the scrotum and penis. So, yes, it is a boy. And that's probably the one time I can get away with saying scrotum and penis on a G-rated show and no one complains. If it's not a boy, it's going to be one heck of a tennis player. That's all I have to say. So, me and the wife are very happy, very excited, and we're glad that we can include all of you listeners as part of our family. Well, I'm off to Babies R Us to go find a basketball hoop and backboard for the crib. Talk to you all next time. Thanks.